final show of season 12 of our show, Joseph Rosendo's Travelscope. And we're going to be on the Lot River in France, and with the people from La Boate. We've done shows with them before. We did a show in Canada on the Rideau Canal between Ottawa and the St. Lawrence River. And it's a trip where you get to pilot your own boat on a river, and you have all the you need of, you know, bed and kitchen and everything inside. And of course, you stop at all the little villages and towns, and you're able to take advantage of all the wonderful things that are along the canal in that case. But in France, we're going to be on the Lot River, which is one of the still navigable and free-flowing, or for the most part free-flowing, rivers in France, and one of the longest rivers in France, actually goes way into the east and comes all the way almost to the Atlantic Ocean. But it's quite a nice experience, and we're going to be spending going down the river, running bells. It's except for one electric lock on the river, automatic lock on the river. You power them all yourself, so it's a real hands-on experience. And the Lot, if you don't know the region in France, the Lot region, it's a very very colorful, beautiful scenic area with wonderful limestone cliffs and the river itself, of course, and all this other the small villages along the way, chateaus, Michelin star restaurants, of course, fabulous small rivers, restaurants on the river, boulangeries, where you can get your baguette in the morning and your croissant. And, you know, it's just, if you were to do the whole route that we're going to be doing on the river by car, it would take you about an hour. We're going to take 6 days
Whoa.
To do it.
That's mind-blowing. That's amazing.
Because that's what you do. It may take, maybe an hour and a half. But it wouldn't take a lot if you did it by car. But, of course, you wouldn't have the experience of being on the river and just basically moving down the river very slowly and going through the locks and operating all your stuff. It takes a long time to do all that stuff. And, of course, we're going to be shooting at the same time. So it's going to take us even longer than it takes the average person.
Now, you did your pre-prep trip where you did this, and I was blown away by the fact that you said you're actually kind of, you're leasing the boat. It's like lease a car, like renting a car. You rent the boat and you do this yourself?
Yeah, that's basically, that's true. That's exactly what you are doing. You are leasing the car. You're leasing the car for, you know, for the period of time that you're leasing the boat for the period of time that you're on the river. And like they said, we'll be on there for 6 days. You can take it for about 4 days if you want. It's just depending on the river, depending on the canal, and how far you want to get. And that does have something to do with it, because you're going along. You have to determine how far you want to go, because it takes quite a while to get through the locks and to putt down the river. And it's really, you know, the boats really hardly move down the river, so it's not like a speedboat. So it takes a while. I mean, they're powerful enough. They'll get you down the river in time. But the river doesn't run straight like the road, too. The river winds and goes back and forth, and so it takes a lot longer than the average, than you would take if you were to be on a speedboat. Definitely, you didn't have the locks all to worry about. If you just bombed down the river, you'd be there in no time. But with all the locks and everything that you have to go through, and the waiting in the boat, but that's part of the experience.
Are you a captain? Do you captain the boat yourself?
They do. You captain. You don't have a captain on board. They basically tell you. They give you instruction when you get there in the morning. They check you in. They make sure you know how to
This is right. Yes, this is. Here's the brakes.
It's got thrusters on the side, so it's not that difficult to control. But on the other last trips, I wasn't the captain. I was basically crew.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this trip, I'm going to be with just the crew. So there'll be three of us, three of them, and one of me. And obviously, I can't be captaining all the time, or then the whole show will be about me just captaining the ship. And so I'm going to have to be doing some of the locks sometimes, and I'm going to, of course, be getting off and talking to people, and I'm going to be doing the stuff I normally do. But we have a lot of experiences set up to do on off the boat, too, and that's part of it. All the restaurants, all the sights to see. We basically start in a town called Duol, which is the town at one point in the river, and then we take it all the way up to Saint-Cyr-la-Popie, which is one of the most beautiful villages in France, and it's
really
designated actually by the French government as one of the most
beautiful.
The French have a designation for some of their villages, and
wow.
you can look them up and you can visit them. And this one has been determined to be one of the most beautiful villages in France. It sits up on the hillside off the river. It's amazing, amazing views.
Wow.
And when you're coming up on the boat, that's what you see, is this village going up the side of this river. And then, of course, you park it. And they have places you can park along the river. You can also park naturally along the river where you just stake out and pull your rope and tie it off, and then you also can go to the boat has docking places along the river where for their boats that they've been designated for their boats. So you have electricity, you have water, you have everything you need to be able to make the trip down the river.
What about cooking? Do they have a chef, or do you do your own cooking?
No, you have to cook everything yourself. I mean, they have a great kitchen and outdoor little barbecue as well on most of the boats. And they, you know, they put bikes on board too, so you can bike
nice.
To your restaurants or bike to the scenic attractions along the river. You know, it's really a spectacular way to see France. And I certainly would recommend people to look into it. It's leboat.com is their website. And you can certainly check out all their different rivers. They do rivers, like I said, I mentioned Canada. They're in the process of opening up a new canal experience in Canada. And then they do them all over Europe. They do them all over France for sure, but they do them in Ireland. They do them
wow.
in the Netherlands. They do them in a number of different canals. But the French canals, for my money, are the best experience. They have they have so much going for it, because you have the French countryside, and you have, you know, the joie de vivre of the French, their love of life, and you have the food and the wine and
mm-hmm.
everything else that's part of the experience. So it's really wonderful to go and the French to do. French experience is really terrific.
So then you're going to have some time in that little beautiful village afterwards. You're going to film up there too?
Yeah, we'll be filming in all the places we stop along the river. We'll be filming in all the little villages we stop. We're stopping at in the town of Pradines, up above the town of Pradines is the Chateau Mercure's. And that side of the river, Mercure is the town. The other side is Pradines, which is a little village. And then up above, is sitting overlooking the river, is the Chateau Mercure, which has been in, for hundreds of years, has been sitting there. And they have a Michelin star restaurant up there. And we'll be filming in the Michelin star restaurant. We'll be shooting the chateau, and they have their own vineyard. So we'll be learning about the Malbec wines of the Lot region of France. And this is actually the 50th anniversary of the Lot region, the appellation AOC Malbec in the Lot region. So that's a little celebration going on there. So, we'll be
wonderful.
Filming in all of the different villages along the way. We'll be, I'm going to be fishing along on the river. The Lot is still very alive and well and healthy.
And there's water in it, so thank God. You're not getting any drought problems there. The lake,
no,
the
no,
water?
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
we'll be there in, like I said, about a week and a half. And so hopefully there won't be any problem with the water situation. There wasn't in the past when we did the trip before,
mm-hmm.
and where we're doing the trip and where we've been in other rivers. We were in Burgundy mm. last last year, and we took a Lebout trip down the canal there, the canal in Burgundy, and it was and along one of the big on the Somme River in Burgundy as well. So that was another completely different experience.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, boating on a canal and boating on a navigable river is a whole different experience. And once again, the joys of it is stopping along the way and going to different towns and, you know, taking advantage of everything that's offered.
Does it feel good to be able to film? I mean, it's been a couple of years, right?
Well, yeah, 2020, we were about to finish our season 12 of Joseph Rezendo's Travelscope, and we were, of course, stopped by COVID, and since then we've been basically playing catch-up. And we still have a show to do in Taiwan to finish up our show for Taiwan, and but this will be the last full-blown show that we'll do this year. It will be the lot. And so I'm looking forward to celebrating 12 seasons of Travelscope and doing it in France, which is one of my favorite places in the world.
I know. It's wonderful. It really is. And you're going to beat the heat by being on the river, you know, because it can get hot at this time of year. So by being on the river, you get that cool breeze and that nice air coming.
Oh, it could be nice.
Yeah,
yeah,
it'd be beautiful.
Like I say, we did it before. We did this... We enjoyed being there for all that time during the period of time that we were there. So it was comfortable, and we were there in the summer. So it is a treat to be on the river, and you can swim in the river. The river is clean, and
really?
You fish it. If you can fish in it, you can swim in it.
That's good
and
to
so
know.
It's really lovely in that way.
It sounds so exciting, and you're going to have a little time after. You're going to go to Spain afterwards for a little bit.
I'm actually working on I'm going to be going off and spending 3 days in Cadiz, Spain, where Dali's home is, a wonderful, is now a wonderful museum. And then we're going to be and dining in a Michelin star restaurant there, not far from there, the Miramar restaurant. Paco Perez, who's a noted chef, and has in fact 5 Michelin stars, so one there for his restaurant in Miramar, one for the Egoteca, which is in the hotel Arts in Barcelona, and then there's also a hotel in Berlin that he has a 2 Michelin stars restaurant in as well. So so we're going to be able to do that. I'm going to be scouting out for some future trips and future shows. And that experience, and then on to San Sebastian and for a night in Barcelona. Oh. Actually, going to Barcelona and hopefully checking out the Hotel Arts and Barcelona. Both
wonderful.
And seeing the Red Hotel. Well,
I wanted to introduce you. I've got
experiencing the Michelin star.
I've got
on my Travelscope publication, which people can get by going to travelscope.net. You can learn all about Travelscope and read the publication, which will feature some of the things I'm doing. And then, of course, go to our social media sites, facebook.com/Travelscope and /Joseph Rezendo and Twitter and Instagram. And they can find us there, and I'll be covering, featuring the different things that I do, not only in the trip with France and in on the Lebout, with the Lebout trip on the Lot River in France, but then the other things that I'll be doing on my own, which will be going from Barcelona up to San Sebastian, and then into France to Saint-Jean-de-Luz, beautiful town right on the Atlantic, right by Biarritz, and then up into the Arcachon, which is a beautiful dunes just north of Bordeaux, noted for their oysters, which I'm looking forward to sampling in abundance. And then I head back to the Lot, actually going back to the Lot in the Bidonia region because I just want to revisit some of my favorite places.
Okay, well, Joseph,
and
I
end up coming all the way back to Toulouse, which is Toulouse is like the center for jumping off point for people who are wanting to explore Southwest France.
Okay, well, I have my next guest on the line. I'd like to introduce you.
Get away from Paris and from the tourists, the Côte d'Azur and the tourist places in France, and are looking for a different kind of experience.
Okay, well, thank you, Joseph. I have my next guest in line. You might know her. If you've ever been to Sedona, her name is Lisa Dahl. She owns 5 restaurants, soon to be 6 restaurants in Sedona. And yeah, and if you've ever been to Sedona, I'm sure you've probably eaten at one of Lisa Dahl's restaurants. I got Joseph Rosendo on the line, Lisa. And
hi, Joseph.
Hey, how you doing? No, I haven't been to one of your restaurants, but I look forward to doing it the next time I would go to Sedona. I've been to Sedona. It's a fabulous, wonderful, spiritual place, and also I recommend people go there, and now I can tell them they should go eat at your restaurant.
Oh, she's got the finest restaurants there in town, 5 of them, so you'll love it. But have a wonderful trip, Joseph. I'll be thinking of you, and I'll be following you online, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Aloha. Bye. Well, it's such a treat to talk to you, Lisa Dahl. Lisa Dahl, amazing that one woman, self-taught pro behind 5 amazing top restaurants in Sedona, Dahl and DeLuca Ristorante Italiano. And I have eaten there probably about 6 times. It's always considered to be like the finest, nicest way to go celebrate an anniversary, a birthday, or any fine reason to enjoy Italian food. Cucina Rustica, which is down there, and serves the beautiful area that is growing and booming in Oak Creek Village. Pizza Lisa, which is now going to have a sister soon, which is a wonderful place right there on Highway 89A. Mariposa Latin-inspired grill, the most beautiful view of any restaurant. And Sedona, just love the meal there I just had a few weeks ago. And, of course, now Butterfly Burger as well. Lisa, it's so good talking to you. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Thank you, Cindy. Aloha.
Aloha. Boy, with all of those restaurants and all of that very busy time, and that's not including all the shows you've been going to. You just came from a very important food event in Chicago. How was that?
Well, it was very interesting, and it was for those that are interested in our industry. It was the first time since before the pandemic, since 2019, that the National Restaurant Association, also NRA, which I hate that name, but the initials, but that show was the first just a few weeks ago in the end of May, and it was interesting. It was, I don't know how to say, it was a little different. Because I think that the supply chain is so different now. This is not quite as much a culinary show as it is a well-rounded restaurant show that has everything from some foods, of course, but a lot of things that all of the restaurants need to be a restaurant, from the china to the... she's my dog.
Is that your sweetie dog? I've seen your pictures of your dog. He's so sweet.
Oh, that's Leo. That's Leo. And he is quite an active little sucker if ever there was one. And a lovely person just attempted to come into my office to bring some flowers that I'm going to plant, and Leo let him have it. So
he's a guard dog.
To my train of thought, I thought it was wonderful to be able to travel again. It was the first time I've been on an airplane since the pandemic.
Wow.
I've done some driving trips in between times when I needed a few days to get away, but they were always, within a one-day drive. So getting on the plane with the new experience, but being at a convention the size of the National Restaurant Association, which, my gosh, if I only knew how many tens of thousands attend that, it runs from a Saturday to it closes on the following Tuesday. And I always avoid it on the first 2 days, the Saturday and the Sunday, because, one, I feel like it's too busy in the restaurants, and I try to go to the show when maybe some of the crowds have died down, in hopes of being able to get more work done and see more new items and get more fresh ideas and things like that. So it's quite interesting. But It felt like business as usual, but internally, there's all kinds of things that are still really not as they should be, you know. So you can fall in love with something there and want to order it for one of the restaurants or so, and then you find out that it's delayed for months. So that's the predicament that I think not only are we in here in Arizona, but the rest of the country is dealing with a lot of that. So
same thing. Well, you know, it's happening here on Maui to get stuff to here. It's same thing. Absolutely happening. That and the other factor that you as a restaurateur and restaurant creator knows is the other part that's so difficult is finding staff that you can count on to show up and get enough staff to run. That's the biggest problem I'm hearing from all people, any restaurant.
It is.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
Industry-wide. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, there's things that we have in common as smaller areas, such as Maui or some of your islands. We are like a little island, even though we're only 2 hours from the Phoenix Greater Basin, which is, you know, known as the Valley. And quite honestly, I was surprised to hear that it was the fourth largest restaurant demographic in the country. But that's how much Phoenix and Scottsdale and all of those areas have grown. But here we are, a wee little town, 2 hours out of the bigger city. And yet you would think that we're in a completely different land. I mean, it's never been easy in Sedona to find the staffing, even back in the days before all of this madness. But now you can just consider that it's quadruply harder because everyone is, after everyone's staff, everyone's in the same predicament, and it's a feeding frenzy, although it has subsided just slightly since you were here, in that our business has slowed naturally, which we do in the summer, and I feel somehow just a little bit more confident that we're starting to get filled in those pockets, but we're still not in a position that we're ready to open the second piece of Lisa until we get enough staff. And being that it's a larger restaurant, it is going to take probably 40 to 50 people on a regular, to be open 7 days and seven nights. It needs, you know, it takes quite a bit of staff from the front of the house to the back of the house, and we're building slowly and surely, but you have to have time to train people, and you have to have time for to go through the exercises and the motions. And, you know, I'm still quite reeling from that. Taking us, believe this or not, to your audience, 3 years to even be almost prepared in that restaurant, and that much the pandemic out of the construction. And then getting the equipment and all of the other things, as I said, when it comes to employees.
So, you know, the strange thing, the thing so interesting, I was blown of COVID. I hadn't been there. I think Sedona before this last was 2019. I could not believe Sedona had grown in a couple. It's boomed. And I'm talking to, I think, a guy you know. I just left.
Yes.
I'm saying, Luke, now I know on Maui, you know, a lot of restaurants and a lot of places had to close, you know, because of. I said, did you have that happening here in Sedona? He says, we're busier than ever because people who had traveling by plane were driving and other areas they were driving in to visit Sedona. And
it is true.
Yeah,
it's
that is
true, Cindy, but it wasn't just that perspective. So as a consumer or an observer of what's going on, it was bustling, and Luke was very accurate. But internally, it was something that I would not wish on my worst enemy. We were short-staffed. We were not able to accommodate the people necessarily that all wanted to be in the restaurant. So, it's still very difficult. I don't want to say that it's good news that business has slowed down, but I feel like maybe we can catch our breath. And perhaps maybe we will be able to be more fully staffed when we go in the fall season. But that kind of phenomenon with all these people, and in many cases what was kind of odd to me being that I've been here in Sedona 26 years and have built my business on so many repeat clients coming year after year or multiple times a year, is that we didn't see them. We saw all these new people that were coming from all over, some of them knew about us. Others, you know, just like they do with social media and all the devices and things, they find you, and that's a good thing. But not all of them were as aware of our culture as maybe in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're starting to come back. It's a different, it's just something when you're looking at it from the inside out, it's mm-hmm. totally different. And we're thankful that we're still standing. But many restaurants here in Sedona, I'm sorry to say, have really been more crippled than ever. I've seen a lot of the restaurants closing again part-time. I'm sad to say mm-hmm. that our resorts right now, several very well-known resorts are hardly even able to serve food or meals to their guests.
Really?
I don't know how they're handling it, but we hear this from, you know, some of our shared employees, and we hear through concierge that the bigger ones are really affected right now.
Well, we're going through exactly the same thing. You probably know of Bev Gannon, who lives here. I think a lot of you,
yes.
Very similar to Bev Gannon. And she was actually on Peter Greenberg's travel show recently, said exactly the same thing as you're saying. And it did amaze me that aspect of the prices being higher in areas like ours here on Maui, and prices for homes being higher to buy and rentals higher to buy, unfortunately, has forced out a lot of the workforce, and that's critical. That is critical. But I do want to talk about your amazing new book, because I really want to have time to talk about this, A Romance with Food. This is your latest cookbook. I have your first one and love it, but this one is just a beautiful coffee table book.
I'm so remiss that you... We should have done what we originally thought and had to leave with the book on that day that I missed you, and that was so disheartening. And I'll get it out to you right away. I know that you've been able to look at it when you were at the host stand and see it on digital. But I want you to physically have a copy so that you and John can enjoy it. It lives up to its title, A Romance with Food, Latin Fusion Cooking. As you know from having my first book, which is now 11 years old, with a beautiful title, The Elixir of Life, that was my passion to learn to cook as a healing the loss of my only child, my son Justin. And this is a continuation on that. This is not Italian, although we share a few recipes because I use a little bit of my Italian hooks even in the Latin book, A Romance with Food, but the travel journey to South America for my first time, which was prior to building the restaurant Mariposa, as you well know, when you came early on and you saw us when we were digging up the dirt and getting the restaurant into become a reality. Early on in that time period, I wanted to sneak away to a place I'd never been and go to visit, get a sneak preview of the cuisine from the countries that I felt inspired by, mostly because I felt that cuisine was a natural fit for our kind of sultry flavors that we crave in this part of the country, especially in the Southwest, and a lot of similarities. We pick a little touches of Mexican and Argentina and Chile and also Uruguay, but also the influences of Peru. And that travel journey, which was about 3.5 weeks, I can honestly say the longest I ever left Sedona since I've been a restaurateur in 26 years. But it was that affirmation that I felt would be the right fit, given all those variables and given the fact that it fit with the terrain of Sedona. You know that you've seen Mariposa, and Mariposa is this big, beautiful, austere piece of land with a beautiful architectural, warm contemporary building that looks out in the Red Rocks. And I felt that the kind of cuisine that I was doing would be a natural draw for people that loved our Italian restaurants but wanted to venture into other styles of dining. And we are so fortunate here in Sedona that most of our travelers, they go from restaurant to restaurant, and we never take that for granted, but they find charm and sustenance in each restaurant, and they're so different, but they all have a core of commonality, which is the soul of the food. And this book is like Latin soul food. It's got a lot of meat and seafood, of course, but it has a tremendous amount of wood-roasted vegetables and gorgeous salads. And in this particular book, I was able to put desserts in because in my first book, I actually really did more foundational things. I was the sous chef of my original restaurant, and I didn't put the desserts in because I just felt like I wanted to really teach people the art of the Italian sauces. Mm-hmm. In this book, I wanted to go from the tapas all the way through to the dulce, and there's lots of beautiful things in between the pages. It's quite a bit thicker than my first book. My first book is a meaty book to begin with, and it's lovely, and it's visually stunning. This book I did with my partner boyfriend of many, many years, Scott Yates, and he traveled with me to go to South America, and at that time, I said, let's get as much eye candy as we can. Because
great pictures.
To turn into a book.
Great pictures. And I have to say, he took lovely pictures. And so, in a way, you're combining that excitement of travel, and I do like travel books as well, of travel with that really inside view of what's going on as you discover the excitement, enthusiasm is present in this book, A Romance with Food, as you discover the excitement of this different cuisine.
Absolutely. And, you know, and you will get this book. And Cindy, I admire you as an author more than you can imagine. I tried to share that with you a few weeks ago when I finally sat down and started to look at this beautiful book that you gave me with all the spirituality. This is not to be compared, but I do things in this book that are, they're kind of my mantras in terms of food as healing and the preparation of food as healing. And that's why I really want you to have my book, because some of the, I'll give you a quick example. When I started to write the introductions to each chapter, some of them just channeled through me, as I know it does with you, or you could not write what you write. And, you know, soups have always been to me a salvation. I think that they are the most healing of all substances. And I was blessed as I was putting together the soup chapter that, you know, just this thought process came through me, and I was able to capture it somehow as I was walking. And I came home and started scribbling in my notebook. I always write everything longhand. I have never used a computer. Someone has to use the computer to translate all of this, but I usually just write it in notebooks. And my first opening to the soup introduction says, making soup is like a metaphor for life. It teaches us so many things, such as patience. We must allow time for the flavors to release and develop and mature. The slow cooking process and transition of the ingredients from their raw state to the finished one cannot be hurried, or we won't be able to produce the same richness and sublime satisfaction we are looking to achieve. So I use those little chapter introductions. There's a lot more to that chapter than that, to give people something more than just a good cookbook. They can think about it, how it fits into their own life and their own passion for cooking and entertaining and all of those things. I'm really proud of the book. I think it's a labor of love between what Scott and I did, as well as it took over 7 years because I thought that, you know, after capturing all that photography that I'd be able to just get the book done, because my first book was easier to write. But with having a new restaurant such as Butterfly Burger, and then the COVID pandemic, and then the stresses of keeping the restaurants afloat as we started to build back our restaurant businesses little by little, it took forever, but it was one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done.
It's a beautiful book. It's really, and you know what? There's something wonderful. That book is carries a part of your legacy, just like your first book, and they're so lovely, and lovely to look through, and they carry that essence. You could not do what you're doing with 5 restaurants, soon to be 6, and do it so well with a passion unless you had that enthusiasm and that love that you express in some of those words you just spoke. You could not do it because it's insane. Anyone that knows what it's like running one restaurant, it takes everything, let alone trying to do 5, one more coming up, 6, and get a book out as well amidst everything that's happening with the changing economy and the different growth and the whole changing scenario of life, right? I mean, you only have a couple of minutes left, and I want to remind people, you have at a great site because you've done many wonderful interviews, a lot of great social media things here. 2-time James Beard House featured chef. There's some wonderful stories and pictures on your website. So give people your website so they can go and find out more and get the book.
DahlRestaurantGroup.com will take them to the website that opens up to see a virtual tour of the restaurants and understand a little more of their individuality. But RomanceWithFood.com is the website directly for the book, although they would find it through the other, portals lead to the book and both books, quite honestly. A lot of people that did not have my first and that do collect cookbooks as kind of keepsake of experiences that they've shared in the restaurants, or else they read, as somebody said to me once, I read cookbooks like novels. Well, I take that very seriously.
Yeah.
Because you're sharing your soul.
Yes.
And the elixir of life is the opening to how I was able to survive the loss of Justin and keep him with me, because I don't like that word loss. And I'm even tearing up just talking about that with you. I guess you open up the windows to my heart always whenever I get to talk with you. But in terms of a romance with food, it's a continuation, and they feed each other very well. But I understand if people would like to have the second book, because I think there's a poignancy of the times that it was written in. And in my early introduction in this book, I really, I was sitting in Sedona just looking out, hearing that the restaurants were going to all close down and the 300 or more employees were going to have to go find new jobs. And at that time, it happened to literally be a very, very hard time for me, that particular day, for other reasons that they will realize when they do get the book. And I sat here and just looked out at the snow coming down in Sedona, which is a rarity. And it became the introduction after I thought that I had already written other introductions. That was the most perfect, honest, as they would say, transparent feeling I was going through with that heavy load on my heart. Good news is, Cindy, and for all your listeners, is that we are almost back to that 300 number. Not that it's just a number, but many people that wanted to come back are back. We're having new people coming in all the time. But as I said, it is far from being enough employees to be able to open for those lunches and to get the Pizzalisa to open. It's a process, and I think in a very near future, hopefully, we'll be able to say that we achieved it. But I'm honored and blessed to be able to be on this wonderful show that you have.
Well, thank you. And I will also be airing this in Sedona this coming Saturday at 11 o'clock. So you can listen. We're back on the air. We're back on the air at 92.1 FM. So you'll be able to listen to yourself this Saturday at 92.1 FM at 11 o'clock. Okay?
Wow, we will put that out on our social media so people will know that. I'm so excited to hear that.
It took a lot. I got it down to the last day. that I had to do it to get it back, and I got it back, and thank God, you know, with the help of some friends there, and God's help, it's back on the air. So I'm very thrilled with that, too, and it's so nice talking to you, my friend. You're an inspiration to many people. I don't want anyone to ever forget that. You inspire so many people, and sometimes I know it feels like a lonely journey because a lot's on your shoulders, but you really are not walking alone. So God bless you.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, and I want to be on your radio show again.
Yes, I would love to.
I love it. We can have some fun cooking up stuff.
Absolutely.
And I want to double check. That is Saturday at 11, 92.1 FM.
Correct. Correct.
Oh, I can't wait. What is the name of the station, please?
KUOS. And people can listen.
KUOS.
KUOS FM. People can listen online at KUOS, like with an S, like Sam, KUOSFM.com. And they can also just say to Siri or Alexa, play KUOS. I listen to it here on Maui. I listen to it driving up from Phoenix to Sedona. And it'll play in your car radio or whatever, too.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
I am so proud of you, sister. Thank you.
Thank you for all you
do. Thank you for joining our worlds together because, as they always say, Sedona and Hawaii, they share some very interesting similarities.
Absolutely.
In terms of
absolutely.
Compatibility.
Yes, that spiritual
Thank
energy.
You.
Thank you. God bless you, and thanks for calling in.
Aloha.
Aloha.